appreciated the last week or two, especially actually seeing people, members of the VOD, around in various places, various minyanim around yeshiva, to actually discuss and in person the way we used to, and actually practice this avoda in conversations that I've had, in addition to the ones that are conducted with the rest of the world, but specifically with people in the VOD. I had a conversation with one of the members of the VOD yesterday, and you know, he just said, it's just so hard. It's so hard not to talk when you feel you have something to say. And it just hit me, because I experienced that today and yesterday also. It's almost painful. This is the first Kabbalah that we've worked on that it's almost painful to hold back. I'm not sure how to define it, because it's not a physical pain, but there's an existential, emotional struggle to keep quiet. As dramatic as that sounds, it's amistic. And as I was having conversation with one of the members of the VOD, I said, you know, Baruch Hashem, if we're struggling, if it hurts so much, that's the sign that we're doing the right thing. Because the Yetzer Hara only pushes back when he needs to. When he knows that we're stronger and we have the power to overcome, that's when he puts all of his kochos into trying to get us to trip up. So I feel like, I hope I'm not alone, but I feel from the feedback that I've been receiving, we're going to do this one more week, and hopefully with a little more chizik to really master it, because the positive reactions and positive achievements have increased, and I want to encourage people to keep posting, because we've definitely had a lot more good reports over the last couple of days. So I think in many ways, this notion of a goal to exert self-restraint against our human nature is something which is highlighted from the very beginning of the parsha. In this week's parsha, so we're introduced to two individuals for the first time in utero. As far as I can think of, nowhere else in Tanakh do we already have a narrative that tells us about two individuals, two characters in the stories of Tanakh, where we know about them before they're even born. And why is that so important? Why is it so important to know that Yaakov was going this direction, Esav was going that direction? So it reminds me of something that Twersky told me, in the name of a chavrusa of mine who had twins. And this chavrusa of mine shared with Twersky that as his twins, I think he had twin girls, as they grew, he and his wife recognized that their characteristics very much reflected the way they behaved when they were still in the womb. And you can have one child who's a little more active, another child who's more passive, more aggressive, more calm, and especially, maybe it's easier to recognize when you have a contrast between two different children, two different people, but they could already sense a little bit of the persona of each individual child that would ultimately ensue, at least in retrospect, based on how the children were before they were even born. Along similar lines, a Talmud of mine, and I can say that the same about my twins. My wife points it out all the time. My twins, are their current personalities 10 years later, very much a reflection of how they behaved before they were born. As crazy as that sounds. A Talmud of mine told me a number of years ago, he has two brothers. There's three sons in the family, and each of them, for whatever reason, when the mother was pregnant, had to undergo amniocentesis. Amniocentesis is pretty much a procedure whereby the doctor inserts a long needle into the womb to remove some amniotic fluid for analysis to evaluate the genetic material and to conduct various tests about the health of the child. And all three of the boys had amniocentesis, and the mother reported that when she watched on the ultrasound what was going on inside as the needle was inserted, each one of the three boys had a different reaction. One boy almost wrapped his arms around the needle. It was almost like embracing the needle. Another one turned away. And the third one just sort of didn't react at all. And he said, Ad hayom hazeh, he and his two brothers are mamish an expression of those three responses. One guy's a little bit lazy, one guy's a little more friendly and warm, and the other guy just wants to be left alone and does his own thing. Maybe it's a little dramatized in the minds of the parents, I don't know, but it's a fascinating notion. So what the Torah is telling us in this week's Parsha, when Baruch Hashem we're not, hopefully, no one is carrying a Russia as great as Esav, hopefully a Tzaddik as great as Yaakov, but who we are is so much, I don't want to say a product, but the degree of what predetermination we are up against as human beings is something that stretches so far back. It's before our own life begins, and it's a Gemara Nida. Gemara Nida in Daf Tezayin talks about how every tipa is brought before Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Kadosh Baruch Hu has a conversation with the Malachim. What's going to be with this child? What's going to be with this child? And so many of the details of the individual and their life, their circumstances are already put on paper. The narrative has begun to unfold, or it's predicted before the child is born, while the child is still being created. And the Rishonim asking that Gemara, and from similar Gemaras, you know, what's this about Mazel? What's this about the astrology impacting on who the kid is going to be, right? This famous Gemara in Shabbos, this is, you know, the most famous of that, you know, the passages in that Gemara, which talks about how different children are born under different stars, different planets, the influence of different celestial bodies. And the one that everybody knows is that if you're born under Mars, Mars is the red planet, it's the, you know, in mythology, L'Havdil, it's the, you know, the god of war, whatever that means. So the Gemara says that a person who has that influence based on their birth date is more, we'll say, apt to or more driven by what we'd otherwise refer to as bloodthirsty motivations, and that person is prone to become a murderer. So you might as well learn how to be a shochet or a moel and channel the inclination in the right direction. So these Gemaras are very confusing because there's Bechir Chafshis. Every person is on their own to make the right decision. So the Tosa Rush in Nida Tezayin comments, just a two-liner, he says, what do you do with all those Gemaras? Yishlomar efshir shemazolo notu be'echer min adrachim, mikomakom biyodohu l'schazek al yitzro. It's true, his mazel, his nature may point him in one direction or the other, mikomakom, nevertheless, it's entirely in his hands to be mischazek al yitzro. And to be who he wants to be, regardless of what he is pre-programmed for, and regardless of what natural leanings he may have in one direction or the other. That is very significant. That is very significant. Because you can look back to in utero, but there's also no excuse. You can look back in utero to try to figure out where your effort is going to be required primarily, but notwithstanding, I can never sit back and claim, you know, that's just the way I am. This is who I am, so don't expect anything more from me. I appreciate this is part of how I was created, and that's how it's going to be. That is almost kfira. If you believe in Tzchava Onesh and you believe in Hashgacha Pratis, then there's no such thing as this is who I am. Because Hakadosh Baruch Hu can only reward you and punish you for things you do or that you don't do if it's really in your control. But at the same time, we're recognizing that there are certain things that I'm more driven for or driven towards from the time that I enter this world. The Vilna Gaon says that every single midah that a person has, which is a negative midah, represents the reason why he's in this world. The Vilna Gaon actually says, I'm not sure I have the Lashon here. The Vilna Gaon's Lashon is, I do have it here. Iker, this is in Mishlei. Iker chiyos ha'adam, he shviras hamidos. Vim lav lama lo chayim. The main purpose of his life is to break the midos that he's born with, and if not, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? The Rebbe Melch had a similar word. He said, Iker b'riyas ha'adam, he shviras ha'teva. The main reason for creation of humanity is for them to break from their nature. if that's how you can encapsulate the creation of man, so then it's obviously within our reach, but it also has to be so much what we're investing our energy towards. So if that's the case, when we encounter an avodah, and this is what I responded to David a couple of weeks ago when he asked, why is this so important? Because this is a paradigm example of where we're exercising control over our natural push. Because if you can achieve that, even in the small degree of waiting 2-3 seconds before you respond, forget about all the other toils, forget about the coverage you can give to the other person, forget about the fact that you'll make them feel validated, forget about the fact that they may still have more to say, forget about the fact that you'll prevent yourself from saying something that you don't want to say. What you will accomplish more than anything else is demonstrate that I run my own life. Not my Yetzer Hara, not my impulses, not my reflexes. I run my own life. And it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks, what anyone else says, or what other preconceived notions I have in my mind of what's normal or appropriate, but rather what's right or wrong. Just I can't help but, just as a side note, this is what Nevardik was about. People often talk about Nevardik's hallmark was the Shiflas HaAdam. It wasn't just that. That Nevardik worked on having tough skin to be able to choose what needs to be done regardless of whether the people around you get it, if they'll laugh at you, or if they'll approve of what you're doing, to have confidence to break from my surroundings and my comfort zone at all costs. In Nevardik, they used to have kabbalas also. The kabbalas was, for example, go into a hardware store and say, excuse me, sir, I'd like to buy a loaf of bread. And let them laugh you out of the store simply to toughen yourself up. The Olam Hamidos quotes the following example, which he said someone in Yeshiva tried. Today is the day after Rosh Chodesh, right? He challenged himself in the spirit of Nevardik to get up before Mincha in the Beis Medrash, give a clap on the bila and say, no yalav yavo, okay? Which you can only imagine. I would not be able to concentrate during my Shemona Esrei if someone did that in the middle of Beis Medrash, right? But what was the purpose of that? To do something ridiculous. L'shem Shemayim. To go and again, the purpose is not to make a fool out of yourself. The purpose is to say, whatever I decide to do because I decide I need to do this for my vote as Hashem, doesn't matter what anyone else is going to say, what anyone else is going to think. And in a conversation, even if I'm going to be slow to react, and it's probably all in my head, it's probably in my own head that I think the other person who I'm speaking to is wondering why I'm taking so long to respond. Maybe sometimes that is the case. But often, it's just in my own head because I have my own picture of what I'm supposed to be doing. But in reality, Rabbi Osai, if you're waiting those 2 seconds to respond, you're breaking the nature that we were born with. We were born with the nature to be impulsive and not wait. And act without thinking, because that's how a young child behaves. And we need to grow out of that. We need to grow out of that. That is the goal. We're not in the womb anymore. We're not in the womb anymore. Even Esav could have been transformed from his identity in the womb by Dinah, if not for the fact that Yaakov hit her in a box. And Chazal take Yaakov to task that he hid Dinah from Esav out of a fear that Esav would want to marry her. Even Esav could have been changed. We can change our natural inclinations as well, and this is a way to demonstrate that it can be done, so that we never ever have to say to ourselves, this is who I am, it's not going to change. The Memchas Kinyonim, Zakta Chazanish, there are 48 ways in which we break from nature, from our natural inclinations. Where do you get that from? Kinyonim? I don't get it. Kinyonim are acquisitions, means to gain, to purchase, to make something yours. What does that have to do with changing a person's nature? I think the pshat is, we say every day in davening. Rabbi Ganak has a word like this, Alpi the Rav, Kone Shemayim Va'aretz, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Kone, who did he buy it from? Who did HaKadosh Baruch Hu acquire the world from? The answer is no. You know what the most powerful form of kinyan is? When you create something from scratch. When you bring it into existence. That is the ultimate form of kinyan. That's what we mean when we say Kone Shemayim Va'aretz. The Memchas Kinyonim are recreating myself. I am a new person. When I achieve these kinyanim, it's a kinyan HaTorah, but it's also a kinyan of myself, because I can go against the grain, resist the reflex, be who I want to be. And when you accomplish that, you are recreating yourself. Let me just close. Two brief comments. One thing to add to our Kabbalah. Number one is the Vilna Gaon. Everyone needs to know this by heart. The Chafetz Chaim quotes this left and right through Sefer Chafetz Chaim, through Shmiras HaLashon. It's a line from the Geras HaGra. The Gra wrote to his children as follows, based on the Medrash. Very simple. He says, you know what's more effective than all the fasts and all the tshuva and all the physical yisurim? What counts much more is when a person keeps his mouth shut. When he resists the taiva and he is silent, that earns him more than any sigufim and ta'anisim ba'olam. And listen to this. V'chol rega urega sha'adam chosim piv. Zoche b'shvilol or agonel she'ein malach uberichol m'shar. Every rega urega that a person is silent, he earns a hidden light that no malach or inner creature could possibly understand or envision. Rabbosai, the Gaon is talking to us. Kol rega v'rega, those are the two regoyim. Kol rega v'rega, 1 second, 2 seconds before you speak. Or hagonas that no malach or barrier could possibly imagine. Those 2 seconds, kol rega v'rega. And kenega those two regoyim, zakta orchas tzadikim, in the Shar Hashtika, you have two guards. Your mouth is closed by your lips and your teeth. It's not by accident. There's no other opening in the guf that has two layers of protection. Korega virega, 2 seconds. Before you open your lips, 1 second. Before you open your teeth, another second. The reason why there are those two guards, explains Orach Tzadikim, is because that's the opening that needs to be protected more than any other. Shomer piv ulishono. Shomer mitzoras nafsho. All this is in the Shtar Hashtika, and he says in Teisha B'Tfuna, Toshiyom Milchadavar Ma'at Hashosik Kol Kach. Imam says, "These are what people say. People are going to say to you, why are you so quiet? Mimashatia Medaber V'Yud Dvarecha Lahem L'Masa. Better that they tell you, or they ask you, how come you're not talking, than you open your mouth and they tell you to be quiet." So you have two guards, your lips and your teeth. Korega virega, each guard for another second of patience. And again, it's not just about watching what comes out of your mouth. That's so important. But more than that, bigadol, it's an exercise in self-control, in saying, I run the show, I am in charge of how I act, how I behave, and I will not let the Yetzer Hara drive my impulses because I'm ready to grow up. I'm ready to get out of the womb, and I'm ready to be an adult, and put my past behind me and recreate who I am. Okay, Rabbosai. One more week, and in particular, to think your mouth and your teeth. Open your mouth slowly before you speak. Open your mouth slowly before you speak, counting two or three. And if you haven't been active in posting, please do so. It's a toelis for everybody. On a personal level, I can't thank the chevra who have posted. It's off your mind. You don't have the reminders. So you're helping everybody and you're helping yourself as well. Shkar Chabosai.